Buenos días. Means good morning. It is good to be here. I've been in the States for the last couple weeks. Came up to the North American Convention in Oklahoma. Prior to that, I stopped in Florida. My mother lives in Miami, Florida. She pastors a church there. Began the church, started it herself. And when she was 70 years old, she started. I thought, man, she only wants something to do. That was my idea, you know. So we're 11 siblings. And we got together and we said, should we let our mother do this or not? And we thought, well, it's something she want to do. She just want to feel useful, so let her go ahead. And we thought it'll probably last a couple months and so forth, and it would pass, you know. It's like 7 years since then. She raised the church, has a flourishing church in Miami, Florida. They just bought land and a building and just doing miracles. God using her incredibly. She's 76 and still going strong. I want to thank you for having me. I realized that your pastor was on vacation with his family, and churches usually want to hear from their pastor when he get back. And this occasion, you find yourself with a Honduran up here. But thanks for you know, having me and being so kind to your pastor and letting him have me here. Like I say, we're more than just brothers. I consider him a friend. And when we're in ministry, we don't have that privilege to call very many people our friends. Most people deal with us on a ministerial basis where they're either looking for help or looking to help us in some way or the other. And so it is very healthy for me to have a couple people that I could call friend. And I want to share with you more than what's happening in Honduras, probably what's happening in my heart. Yes, there are good things happening in Honduras. And I cannot go without mentioning the school, just because I like to say that I'm looking forward to someday a president of our country traces his route to our school. And why this is important? Because Honduras is known as a country of violence and corruption and dishonesty and all kinds of stuff bad stuff that you can think about. For hundreds of years, we've been moving in that direction. And God placed on my heart, not exclusively, but yes, he placed on my heart to not only provide education or do a school, but to change a culture. And we try to integrate biblical values, principles, and God ways into our students, beginning from pre-kinder, kinder, first grade. We teach them Christian values, to be honest, to be truthful, to be righteous, to love justice, etc., etc. Somebody asked me yesterday if we were seeing any fruits of this endeavor, and I shared with them only one experience of a young kid who came up from pre-kinder with us, and he's with his parent at home. And back home, you can go and loan things or take out product on credit, and they come to your house to collect. So every month, somebody on a motorcycle or a bicycle, sometimes walking, would come to the house of the debtor and say, well, it's time to pay. And this happened more frequently when they're behind on their payment. So our people have learned to watch, to look out for the collector, the person that's going to come and collect. And if they get to see him before he reached the house, they would hide. If they did not have the money to pay, or if they didn't want to pay, they would hide and tell the kid, tell him I'm not here. So this particular family saw the guy coming on a motorcycle and decided to hide and told the kid that's in our school, tell them we're not here. And he stood up, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. We're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to tell the truth. I'm not going to tell them you're not here. The family told us this story. As an illustration of how our school is changing a culture. So I live this desire, or this dream, that one day somebody will sit on the presidential seat of Honduras who has their core values based on the Word of God. And that'll be the day our history changes. And so this is kind of what we're doing with our school. And we're doing a series of other things also. Medical brigades and working with older folks and doing welding schools and different stuff. But we can talk about them some other time. Right now, I want to talk something about what's on my heart, because I live under the impression that we are not living up to our full potential. And when I say we, I'm talking about the Christianity in general, including myself. We're not living up to our full potential. We were made for more than what we experience. God made us to experience life in abundance. You see, there is life and then there is abundant life. And we can easily settle just for life and forget the abundant part of it. Abundant in this case is not necessarily eternal or life beyond this life. It's quality of life. You know, Jesus Christ said the devil came to steal, to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And he said, I'll come to give you life. What is important with this is Jesus was not talking to dead people. It would make sense if he had said, I come to give you life, and he was in the cemetery talking to people who were dead. But he was talking to people who considered themselves alive. They were breathing. They had a pulse. They had things. They had stuff. Okay? So they, in their mind, they were alive. So they probably were looking at Jesus the way you're looking at me this morning. Life? I'm already alive. The only explanation we have here is that Jesus' idea of life differed from their idea of life. Their idea of life was what we usually call life. That we're breathing, that we can move, etc., etc. Then we say we're alive. But Jesus said, you're not really fully alive until you understand my concept of life. So how do we come into this amazing, abundant, and fulfilling life? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Reads like this. Above all else. Above all else. Prior to everything else. Before anything else. Okay? Guard your heart. Before anything else in life. Before your car, before your house, before your wife, before your husband, before mama, before papa, before anything, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. And this life he's talking about here is not the breathing, having a pulse, moving life. It's the abundant life that Jesus talks about. It's life that originates inside, that does not have nothing to do with outward things. It's life that springs from the heart. And when I talk about the heart, I'm referring to the seat of our emotions. You see, what Jesus is trying to have us know, or what the Word of God is trying to have us know here, is that we must make the heart our priority. Like he first cared for the heart, so we must put the heart first. And we do this by watching what goes into our heart. You see, the content of our heart determines the quality of our lives. As your heart goes, so goes your life. The quality of your life. See, there are some people who are breathing, but they're not living in the concept that God presents. And his desire and my desire is to live before we die. We were placed here on this earth to really live abundantly. Sadly, some people die and never come in to this life that Jesus Christ presented. I believe there is life, and I believe there is abundant life. I like David. David said, "Return to me the joy of my salvation." See, I'm hearing there. I'm hearing again, life and abundant life. I'm hearing salvation and the joy of salvation. So how many times we only have salvation? The joy is absent. Why? Because the joy comes from the state of our heart. And we have been careless with our hearts. We have been too careless with our hearts. You would be surprised to know the junk people allow into their hearts. I say you would be surprised to know what the person next to you right now has inside. How kept in their heart. What we should let go of is the things that we hold more dearly in our hearts. For instance, hurts. We hold the hurts and we guard them in our hearts. We won't let anybody know. We pretend everything is okay. We keep hurt in our heart. Some people keep hate in their heart. Some people have envy. Some people are selfish. Some people are ungrateful. All these things are things that we keep in our hearts, and they steal life away from us. This is real life. I'm not talking about breathing, coming to church, singing. That's good. That's existence. Anybody can do that. I'm talking about life. Fulfilling. But the Bible talk about it like a river flowing up from within. Flowing out. Eternal. Abundant. Amazing. Life. Unfortunately, people don't want to deal with their hearts. We live in a very superficial world where we deal with everything on the surface. Even when we deal with each other, we refuse to put our heart in our dealing. We say things that doesn't really matter. And the things that really matter, we hide in our hearts.
And the same way we deal with God. I'm surprised by Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He said, you come to me with a bunch of words and blah, blah, blah. He said, it's not by your many words that you would be here. He's accusing them of dealing with him or dealing with God from the mouth out, superficially. And we're in that same situation today. We allow the superficial. And God say, I want to go deeper because I want to give you more. But the only way I can give you more is if we come into a heart relationship. People don't want to deal with matters of the heart. Tell the story of a couple in La Ceiba. And, this guy worked in a restaurant in front of a church. And it's those restaurant kind of typical place in La Ceiba especially where there's a lot of drugs. This place is basically a cover up for people that are in drugs, you know, and they need to justify their money. In other words, nobody goes to the restaurant. Hardly like two people per week may go there. It's a luxury restaurant. They got like four or five guards with gun watching over it and so forth. And so one of the guards was having problem with his companion, with his girlfriend. And seeing the families go and come from church, I would imagine he thought, maybe my solution is there. And he sought me out and said he wanted counseling. And I thought, why not? So he came in with his lady, and they sat down. And after we went through the superficial things, how you do, fine, and how are you, and how are your kids, they're great, and how are your kids, they're great. You know how we go through that kind of thing and doesn't really care. I don't care how your kids are doing or whatever. But anyway, we go through that stuff, right? And after going through that deal, then I got down. So what seemed to be the problem? And all hell broke loose. He began to accuse her of being intolerant, of being a bad mother. He even called her the devil in a certain case. You need the devil, you know? And she, of course, didn't stay quiet. She responded to it, and you're the devil's dad. And you have been unfaithful, and you did this, and you lied to me, and blah. And then they began going back and forth, and I'm like in the middle, oh. I just say, stop. See, the problem I'm sensing here is that you've been hurt. You kept it in your heart. You've not forgiven each other. Your heart is full with unforgiveness. You need to forgive. That's where you need to start. Start with the heart. It's not that. It's the heart. They didn't pay me no attention. They just keep going at each other. And I said, leave my office, please. And I just send them out. I cannot help you. Maybe somebody else can help you, but I cannot help you. So they left. And I thought they would only last, they would only be together another week. That was all I gave them because I thought they were going to kill each other if they didn't, you know, separate. And 6 months later, my wife and I would be walking on the beach together, just a relaxed time. And I see the guy with his girl a distant away. And I thought, wow, they're still together. And then I began feeling kind of bad because I say, maybe they went to another church and the pastor there was, you know, more godly and he knew how to deal with it. And I was feeling like, well, you know. But anyway, when I met them, they were happy to see me and I was happy to see them too because they were there with their kid and all that stuff. And wow, so what happened? You guys got everything fixed? And all hell broke out again. Anyway, who, him? He ain't gonna change. He ain't gonna never change. He did it, and he did it to me again. And she's a liar. And blah, 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 blah. And I thought, wow, the things people would do to not deal with their heart. They would rather live miserable together than to deal with their heart, forgive each other, and move on. It's incredible the things people would do rather than deal with their hearts. Some folks would rather divorce than deal with their hurts in the heart. They would rather divorce, they would rather split and affect their kids, etc., 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 than coming to terms and saying, it's me. There's things in here that I need to deal with that is affecting my way of life. Some people would rather quit the church than deal with their resentment. You know, they're resented because something happened. Instead of dealing with the resentment in their heart, they go to another church, go to another place. It's incredible the things people would do just to not deal with their heart. Some people would rather not talk to others because they've been hurt in their heart. They would ignore, they would rather not walk the same street that person go just to not see them instead of dealing with their heart, fixing the situation. We've been careless with our hearts. And an unattended heart produces an unfulfilled life. An unattended heart produces an unfulfilled life. Maybe I could illustrate it with an actual healing Jesus did. Luke chapter 17, verse 19. I'm sure you've heard this before. I'm so glad there's young people in here. I'm glad there's older folks too. But why I say young people, because if we can learn to deal with our hearts from a young age, it's easier than having to deal with it after we're 50 and like you and me, Ba. Okay, Luke chapter 17, verse 19. Watch this. Then he said to him, this he is Jesus, and him is a leper, a person that was healed of leprosy, I should say. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, some of you may know this story already, and some might not. So for those who have not heard the story, let me try to paraphrase it some. There's 10 lepers. 10 persons with leprosy, 10 lepers, and they knew Jesus was passing by. They stood afar and they began to scream, Jesus, have mercy on us! Jesus, have mercy on us! And Jesus, being the merciful Savior that he is, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. That was a requirement. Once you've been healed, you had to go and show yourself to the priest. But the point here is they were not healed. He just say, go show yourself to the priest. And they had faith in Jesus, so they began to go in the direction of the priest. On the way, they were healed. Now, I don't know if you can picture this, but I like to try to picture this, because somebody, his leprosy is, it affects the outward body. I mean, your skin a lot. You know, it's a skin disease that you got holes here and sores here and boils there and all kinds of stuff, you know, and it's very visible. So they're walking in and they're feeling a little more strength, a little more strong. And one man looked and he said, wait a minute, this is looking good. Hey. And then they look at the other guy, and the other guy also is looking good, and they're looking at you, we're healed, we're healed. And they begin to run towards their friends and their families and all this stuff. Yeah, we're healed. But one stopped, and he remembered Jesus, and he turned back. While the other 9 went on their way, he turned back, and he went to Jesus. And the Bible say that he bowed down before Jesus and he worshiped Jesus and he thanked Jesus.
And then this is what Jesus said to him. Arise. Your faith has made you well. Do you see it? He was already healed. Now he was made well. What's the difference? Those nine were healed on the outward, on the superficial. This one got well because he was healed from the inside also. See, these nine, they were sick with leprosy. They knew that, but they didn't know they were also sick with ungratefulness. They were ungrateful in their hearts. This one recognized, it's not enough to only be nice on the outside. I need to be nice on the inside. And he was made well. While the other nine appear well to other folks, but they were still sick on the inside. They could have received more than just the outward touch, but they settled for less. Is that song like us today? There's more for us. Jesus Christ created us. God created us for more. There's an abundant life out there, a flowing from inside life, bubbling life out there. But we've settled for less. They say people spend more money on their appearance than on any other thing in their life. Even in countries like Honduras, that's a third world country, people are obsessed with their figure, with how they look and how they appear, and clothing. You can sell clothes on at any time. Makeup and all cosmetics, all that stuff, that's big because we're obsessed with the outward appearance. We will settle for looking good on the outside. And we hide our hearts behind our smiles. You know what? What I think is tragic. People hide behind a lot of things. They hide behind money. They hide behind things. They hide behind sometimes big talk. But you know what will become the biggest hiding place? The church. That's tragic. The church is a place where even in Honduras, people dress up to go. They put on their best clothes. Put on their best look to come to church. Because we have been taught falsely, somewhere, somehow, that the church is a place for perfect people. So we hide our hurts. We may have envy in our hearts, but we dare not express it, especially in church. So we come. And we sit and we listen. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, however it is. And I'm talking we, I'm not talking you. And so we come and we listen and we're pious and we even walk kind of careful in church, you know. It's a special church walk, you know. Get in there and just, yes, fine, how are you? Nice, good. But in our hearts, we're hurting. We got all kinds of stuff that is happening, but we dare not let it see. We settle for less. We're more alarmed by a broken arm or a broken leg than by a broken heart. If one person here this morning fell and broke his arm, the whole church would be alarmed. He broke his arm. 911, first aid, and all kinds of stuff. We all alarm. While right here, right now, there's a possibility that there's more than one person with a broken heart. But everybody's oblivious to that. Nobody say nothing. Nobody. Nobody dare to show. Nobody dare to ask. Because we have learned to deal with Jesus, with church, on a superficial level. And that has stolen life, abundant life, amazing life, away from us. See, we get all caught up in loving God with our strength. I'm putting it in there, you know. Some people get all caught up in loving Him with their mind, their Bible wizards, and their good, and their bone, and books, and all that stuff. But few people is serving God with all their heart. You see, as I look at you, as I from this vantage point where I'm at here, I look down there at you, and I see beautiful people. I'm serious. You guys are beautiful. I like your clothes. I like your smell. You know, it's great, man. But there's a problem here. God does not see that. God looks down, and He looks direct at your heart. He's totally oblivious to the clothes you put on this morning. And He's looking straight at your heart. And I wonder, what is He seeing this morning? We can't hide from Him. What is He seeing in this church this morning? Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the good news, to free the captives, and to heal the brokenhearted." You see, the anointing, Jesus' special appointment, assignment was heal hearts. Yes, He healed bodies. Yes, He feed thousands. But His special anointing was to heal hearts. Because from the heart is the wellspring of life. And we should not settle for nothing less. I think this is a great day to make the heart a priority. And we come to church this morning, and this morning we make our heart the priority. Not the singing, not the preaching, not the people, but the heart. Me and my heart. Here I am, God. Me and my heart. I bring it to You. And God said, I have a special anointing to deal with your heart. I have a special anointing to deal with the anger that's in your heart. I have a special anointing to deal with the resentment, with the pride, with your insecurities, with your fears. I have a special anointing for it that nobody else, there's no medicine out there to deal with these things except God. There's no use to hiding them, because when we hide them, they only hurt us more. When we deal with them. See, some people think that to house things in our heart is bad. No, we're humans and we get hurt and we tend to put things in our heart. That's not the problem. The problem is when we refuse to deal with what's in our heart. God longs for a church that worship and serves Him from the place of our pain, from the place of our hurt. I'm finished with this, but it's an incredible illustration. My mother and my dad, they separated, and It was a painful thing because they were both ministers. And it's a long story. I won't go there, but it had a lot of hurt. My mother hurt so bad. Then many years after what happened to my mother and my dad, she was at my place, and my wife's sister, my wife's brother and his wife was at my place also. And they were having problem. That is my wife's brother and Dino and his wife. They were having problems. He was having an affair with another lady. This particular day, she found a note that confirmed this affair. And she knew that he was planning on leaving her for the other person. And I was in one room, and I heard this, like a cry of agony. Ah! And I thought, what in the world? And I went over to where she was. Julie was her name. And Julie was standing with the note, proof of the whatever was happening to her, in her hand. And she was shaking like this. And this hand was like cramped up. And she couldn't get no words out. She was white as paper. And when she finally got something out, it came out like this. You did it to me. How could you do it to me? She was hurting so bad. So bad. And I tried to comfort her from my mouth, from the outside. And I told her, I say, all things work together for good. Don't worry. You know, God can work things out. But it wasn't working. She just, and you could see her. I thought she would have a heart attack. And I remember my mother was there with me. And I called my mother. And my mother began to talk to her from the place of her pain. You see, I remember the time when this happened to my mother. I remember her coming to me, her son, and saying, would you pray with me, son? I'm hurting so bad. It hurts so bad. And I would remember her praying, because I didn't know quite what to pray. But I remember hearing her praying, God, where are you? I look for you on the right and I can't find you. I look on the left and I can't find you. God, where are you? Praying from the place of her hurt, just letting her heart out there. And God healed my mother. And from that place, she could heal Julie. You see, life springs from the heart. Deep calls on to deep. When we begin to live from the place of our heart, we'll begin to experience life as it was meant to be, not as the way we've learned it. So, I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe some of you have been careless with your heart. You've not paid any attention to it. You've just been putting things in there, and it has been stealing life from you. Maybe you haven't found satisfaction. Maybe you have things. Maybe other people think you should be cool, but you know within yourself that you're not. Because your heart, you've been careless with your heart. Maybe somebody here is allowing the state of their heart to steal their life. If that be the case, Jesus Christ is here this morning. And he has the same mission he had 2,000 years back, to heal your heart. And I don't know if you believe in coming to the altar or not, but in Honduras, we invite people to come to the altar and pray. And I think this is the perfect day to bring your heart to God and move into a new level of living. your Christian walk from the inside out. This is an invitation for everybody. Younger folks and older folks, we all get careless with our hearts every now and then. And we really do have nothing to offer God of any value but our heart. It's not of His interest that you come here and sit in church merely. It's not of His interest that you give money, etc. I mean, yes, that is good, but what He really wants is your heart. That's the only thing we have that we can offer God that has any value to Him. So again, I hope I'm not breaking any protocol here as far as inviting you to come to the altar, but I would love for any of you to just, you know, just for a minute stop and say, how's my heart? And say, I'm going to take it to God this morning. I'm going to the altar. I don't care what other people say, because I want that abundant life. I don't care what they think of me. I don't care what they say about me. I want to put my heart above the opinions of others. I want to put my heart first. The choir going to sing, or the praise group going to sing, and the altar is open. I would encourage you to come and pray, because Jesus is here and He wants to heal our broken hearts. God bless.